This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
On Friday's Page One, congressional Democrats want to rein in special interests when it comes to campaign advertising, but they're putting in loopholes for, you guessed it, special interests. VP Chief Executive Tony Hayward said he's sorry for the Gulf oil spill, but he repeatedly sidestepped questions from a congressional committee, and how soap operas in Turkey are helping the government's political agenda. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says congressional Democrats are pushing to rein in special interest power to buy campaign commercials. But Times reporter Carl Hulse says the bill carves out loopholes for special interest. The bill is aimed at countering a Supreme Court ruling that let corporations and unions pour money directly into political ads. First, Democrats carved out an exception for the National Rifle Association. Now, Democrats trying to line up yes votes have expanded the exception. Congressman James McGovern of Massachusetts says it's not the bill he wanted, but it's better than nothing. Friday's Times looks at the $20 billion compensation fund BP set up after arm-twisting from the White House. Times reporter David E. Sanger says that to the president, the issue is rebalancing things after 20 years of multinationals that sometimes seem to be beyond the government's reach. Republican Congressman Joe Barton of Texas called the fund an unconstitutional shakedown. That may have played well with private sector executives who see the president as reflexively anti-business. Times reporter John Schwartz started adding up the possible payouts.
This $20 billion is neither a ceiling nor a floor. The company might end up paying more and has agreed to pay all legitimate claims. You've got so many other sources of liability for the company that have nothing to do with this fund, the civil fines, the penalties, the cleanup costs, and beyond that, the question of criminal liability, that if the government successfully presses criminal charges, then the cost could go up into the billions. And some of the Wall Street estimates that include all of this are now looking at $60 billion.
Times reporter John Schwartz. BP Chairman Tony Hayward told a congressional committee he was sorry for the oil spill. He didn't get much sympathy. The hearing began with a heckler being led out of the hearing room. Later, Hayward faced tough questions about whether he should have been more involved in hands-on decision-making at the well in the Gulf. After almost a week of ethnic violence, Kyrgyzstan is in danger of breaking apart. The government has lost control in the southern part of the country after failing to stop riots that left several hundred Uzbeks dead. Some 400,000 have now fled their homes. American officials are keeping an eye on the conflict because a military base in Kyrgyzstan is supposed to supply the NATO mission in Afghanistan. The fight over illegal immigration has boiled over in Fremont, Nebraska, about 30 miles from Omaha. In the last few years, there's been an influx of Hispanics. Now Fremont is holding a special election that... Now Fremont is holding a special election to outlaw hiring of illegal immigrants. It's a vote residents went to the state Supreme Court to get over local officials' objections. We'll hear from two of the people reporter Monica Davey interviewed in Fremont. First, store owner Alfredo Velez.
Well, the people's feeling like it's going to be a lot of discrimination.
But Fremont resident Jerry Hart is for the ban.
Hopefully, people will leave just because they know we don't want illegal aliens in our town.
Here in New York, a politically influential pastor has a financial stake in a senior citizen's apartment complex in Queens that his church used to run. The Reverend Floyd Flake is one of four partners who bought the complex 4 years ago. The deal was financed with $21 million from government rehabilitation programs. Reverend Flake's lawyer says all legal requirements have been met. Cultural critic Michael Kimmelman has been watching soap operas in Turkey. He says the twist is the characters are Muslims, and it's Arab audiences that have been swept off their feet. He says Turkey's cultural exports helped advance its political agenda as it's defied the U.S. on sanctions against Iran and talked tough to its one-time ally, Israel. We'll go inside Friday's Times after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is The War Lovers, Roosevelt, Lodge, Hearst, and the Rush to Empire, 1898, by Evan Thomas. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage. That's audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
Inside Friday's Times, a look at a nonprofit advocate who's carved out an unusual for-profit niche. Richard Berman has started six nonprofit groups that critics say are nothing more than moneymakers for his Washington-based communications firm. Two of his targets have been the Humane Society and Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Last month, they countered by filing a complaint that two of his nonprofits had failed to register as lobbyists. From the Supreme Court, a narrow ruling in a case involving steamy text messages. The court ruled that a California police department did not violate the constitutional privacy rights of an employee when it audited his text messages. Sergeant Jeff Kwan used a pager issued by the police department in Ontario, California. Writing for the court, Justice Anthony Kennedy said messages sent through the city's servers could be treated differently than messages sent via an outside company. Friday's Business Day section says Chinese officials may have nodded when they heard President Obama's speech calling for clean energy the other night. The Chinese government is drafting energy legislation with similar goals. But where Mr. Obama wants to address climate change, China wants the energy for continued growth. That means a big role for coal. It's the dirtiest fossil fuel, but in China, it's widely available. A new country joined the Eurozone. Yes, joined. That might look like more of a curse because of the debt crisis in Greece and Spain, but Estonia wanted in. Reporter James Kander says joining the Eurozone opens the door to a club with global clout and influence. Estonia will switch over to the Euro on January 1st. Bullish signals from GM and Toyota. GM is going to skip a summer shutdown at 9 factories. That'll increase production. Toyota is resuming construction at a long-delayed plant in Mississippi where it plans to make Corollas. Toyota halted work on the factory 18 months ago as the recession hit. Here in New York, City Hall has backed down somewhat from plans to limit art vendors in 4 Manhattan parks. It's going to allow as many as 140. It had planned to slash the number to 81. There are more than 300 now. The change comes after protests from artists who make money selling their works in the parks. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.